Philadelphia, Philadelphia, are you ready? City of brotherly love, home of smoking Joe Frazier. Come on. It's about that time, FetLifeStation.com. Philly Fridays, baby, come on.
Harassing. Imagine going to court with no trial. Lifestyle cruising blue Bahama waters. No welfare supporters. More conscious of the way we raise our daughters. Days are shorter, nights are colder. Feeling like life is over. These snakes strike like a cobra. The world's hot, my son got knocked. Evidently, it's elementary. They want us all gone eventually. Trooping out of state for a plate. Knowledge, if coke was cooked without the garbage, we'd all have the top dollars. Imagine everybody flashing. Fashion, designer clothes. Lacing your click up with diamond rolls. Your people's holding dough. No parole, no rubbers. Going raw, imagine law with no undercovers. Just some thoughts for the mind. I take a glimpse into time. Watch the blimp read, the world is mine.
If I rule the world,
imagine that.
I free all my sons. I love them, baby.
Hey, hey, hey. Welcome back to Ears from the Streets. It's your girl, Jay Lizzie from the block. And I have Juju the Don on the line. And
hey,
Lani is not available today. However, she will be joining us next episode. I also have an introduction to Morning Cup of Tea, our Morning Cup of Coffee. Let me get it right. By Miss Carla Broadway. She will be joining our show. She will be coming to the episodes every week with positive affirmation. Today, I have Shamika, and she is joining us live. And we are discussing the transition from incarceration to the streets for women. A lot of people go with a lot of unaddressed issues. And a lot of young women, you guys' age, Juju, are now coming out of incarceration or being incarcerated. And you guys are not understanding the consequences. And people like myself who then become a part of the system and go in and out the system. So I have Shamika here with us live. And just not to put her on the spot, but put her on the spot because she's an OG. And I got to show her mad love. And she comes from the riverside of Wilmington, Delaware. So I'm going to give her a shout out. And I want to turn the interview over to you, being the youngest on the squad. All right, Shamika, here you go. Okay. Hey, Jill, what's up?
What's up, Meek?
Hey.
What's up, Meek? Let's talk about, for starters, I know, what's the name? I couldn't stand prison. So for starters, how could you stand being in there? And then how long was you in prison for?
I done 3 years in upstate Pennsylvania. I came home for 3 months, and then I had to do 3 years in state prison in Delaware as well.
A total of 6 years.
Six and a half, just about.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Basically, if you can survive out here in these streets, you can survive in jail. It's actually a little bit more shelter in jail because you know that you don't really have any responsibilities. You're going to get 3 meals and you're going to get a cot.
Three hots and a cot.
The rest of the thing is just about trying to make it in there, seeing if your mindset, because a lot of people go to jail and they end up getting on medication, psych meds or whatever, because they just can't deal with those type of things. So you have to have your mindset focused on what it is that you're going to do and what it is you're going to learn while you're in prison, so you won't make the same mistakes again, and you'll have a plan for when you get out there, so you won't have to return back to prison.
Right. So, what is some advice that you have for the young ladies now that are being incarcerated and that are in and out of the system?
A lot of the young people, when they come in there, they look at it as a game and they look at it as like a joke, because it's, you know, you get hooked up with a lot of other people in there, people from the streets, people from, you know, that you don't know. A lot of my good friends I found in prison, from prison. So, I just tell them to utilize the time that you're in there. Don't let your time go by without learning anything. Like, a lot of programs and stuff that they have in there, you might don't want to do those programs because they might seem stupid or they might seem like that's not nothing you want to hear. Take all the programs that you can get. Everything that they give you in jail that's for free, any kind of education, anything that you can learn from, take those things, because I guarantee you, you're going to need them in society. You're going to need something. I don't care what it is. I took up so much stuff. I took up fiber optics. I haven't done fiber optics, but I got it. I'm certified. I'm certified for that fiber optics. I took up ServSafe, all kinds of cooking. Like, I could do anything now if I wanted to do it. Even when I came home from jail, I got my CDL license. I don't have the desire to drive any tractor trailers, but I have that if I need that underneath my belt or something. I'm about to start my own business now where I'm doing mobile hookah lounge or whatever. I need that CDL license to drive that mobile bus.
So everybody can know, she's doing a mobile hookah lounge. If you need her information, we will be putting that online for her. So that was a quick infomercial promoting Mika's Hookah Lounge. Now back to you, Juju. Sorry.
So basically, Juju, I just wanted to tell all the younger crowd, or, you know, the younger people that's out there listening or whatever, whatever kind of certifications, whatever kind of job trainings, whatever kind of things that they have inside the prisons, because they are implicating a lot of good things in there now for people for reentry or whatever. Just take it. I took it thinking that I was actually going to get something out of it, but, you know, it takes time off your sentence. So I was taking everything. But it's a good thing to just kind of get all the informative information while you're there, because when you're there, you have no time but to listen and think. Your brain is kind of clear and free. So it's a good time to take in that information.
Now, coming home from prison, how do you describe the support that you was given from the system? Not from your friends, not from your family. What are some of the things they had in place for you transitioning out?
Actually, they didn't have anything in place for me. Once you finish with prison, you finish. They're going to give you papers to go, you go.
Why do you think that is? Don't you think coming out of prison, you would have needed more resources?
I do. So the thing is, while you're homeless, right? Yeah, absolutely. So once you're finished with your time, to be honest with you, it's really no more their concern. You know what I'm saying? They'll give you a whole bunch of resources. 9 out of 10 of resources outdated. They ain't even in working anymore. They ain't even, you know, have any funding anymore. So basically, what you have to do is you got to kind of venture out there. Most people, where do they go at? They go to social services to get started with, you know, their Medicaid, their food stamps, their welfare. Social services take what? A minute to even get you up and running, even if you can get in on the first time. So I just think that it's really important for you to make those social connections even before you reach the point of you leaving prison. You should be start doing that at least 90 to 60 days upon your release.
Right. So when you came home, what was the hardest challenge, as a female coming back into society, what was the hardest challenge for you? And as a mother, because you're a mother, mm-hmm. you're a grandmother,
and you come home and you start your life all over again. How can you describe a challenging situation? Like, what was more challenging for you coming back into the society?
I want to say the challenge for me was not being able to provide for my family as I was used to provide for them, and being able to do some of the things that I'm used to doing. I had to kind of like level down a little bit and understand that I can't go out and buy Louis Vuitton sneakers no more. I can't go out and get $600 hairdos. Or I can't, you know, at that time, I couldn't do that because I was living on a fixed income. I had to be in the house at 8 o'clock for probation. I had to go to all the groups they wanted me to go to. So I had to kind of find a way to micromanage my time and also to make money so I could continue to live the lifestyle that I like to live and to be able to support my family. So with that being said, probation and parole was one of the barriers that it was hard for me to overcome because they got all these stipulations that they don't want you to do and things that they don't want you. So I took it upon myself, okay, you got all these stipulations, I got to do this, I got to do that. I'm about to get in a CDL class, I'm about to take some training. So you can't mess with me throughout the day because I'm taking the CDL. And at nighttime, I'm doing a second job, I'm working, I'm doing home health care. So that puts the 8 o'clock out the window because I'm going to be at my client's house. I'm working, I'm on the go.
Right.
So that's where a lot of my extra time coming in is just trying to get me back to where I needed to be. And if that meant working 2 and 3 jobs, that's what I had to do. That's what I had to do.
Do you did you ever feel like maybe like by you not having the resources, it sets you back a little bit?
Like, absolutely.
Okay.
So when you're in jail, you come up, you got this thing that you're going to do this, that, the third. When you come home, you got all these plans or whatever, and you was going to, you know, you're going to make it. So if you don't have that support or whatever, and you keep going to these resources, you get shut down, you get shut down, you don't get it. Eventually, you're going to come back to what you know how to do, what's going to make you the money, what you are used to doing. That plan is going to go out the window because that plan is not working. It's not everything that you got in place is not working because those resources aren't there. So I think it's best that everybody kind of like get a wonderful support system and get people in place that, you know, will help you get these resources that you need. And one of those places in Wilmington, Delaware is Network Connect. You know,
right.
Network Connect is an organization with community well-being ambassadors that help people get the resources they need.
Right. Now, what advice? We have a lot of women going to jail from the age of 18 to 21.
Mm-hmm.
Fighting violence, period, has been a big topic of discussion in the show. Different violent acts and stuff like that. And me, I'm older, so I have a different point of view. Back in the day, I was going to fight somebody. They wasn't a couple dollars. You know, so it's so different now. Because now you call the cops. And you also are put in a situation where so many young girls are going to jail that have no resources, homeless, no parents, and they're falling left behind. How can we as a community with the young population and us behind them, what are some of the things we can look for to better serve them? Like, or what are some of the things you could tell them? You know, how do we still reach one, teach one? What are the things that you think you can put in play? And I know that now that you are a community well-being ambassador and you are helping people, you know, get their services, what kind of plan, what do you think, what's your ideal plan of trying to help this cycle stop?
My ideal plan is for everyone to kind of like put their pride to the side, because at the end of the day, we're all a community, we're all family, and we all are in the same, you know, the same situation, you know. I feel like I have a teenage daughter, and I have a daughter that's 22 to 23, right? And I got a granddaughter. So my teenage daughter is 16. Let's say, for instance, she's out there in the street, she's doing this, that, there, she's getting a fight or whatever. Instead of me, you know, being like, oh, you out there fighting, let's go, whatever, I need to go talk to that person's parent. I don't feel like back in the day, people was knocking on my mom's door to tell them what's going on. Hey, nobody is reaching out to the parents, letting the parents know what's going on with their children. Because at the end of the day, you know what your child is doing, and you know what your child is taking. Have to take some form of responsibility to let your child know, you know, what she's doing and what she's not doing is correct or not correct.
Right.
So it has to start then. It has to start within the household. It has to start with each and every one of us addressing our children and the problems that our children are creating or they're not creating.
Right.
And then we also have to get out there and give them our story. Don't be sad to tell or afraid to tell your story and tell what you've been through or what you haven't been through.
Right.
Because I tell my daughter every day, I tell her all the time, like, I was away from you for this amount of period of time because I made these mistakes, and these are the mistakes that I don't want you to make. I don't want you to feel like I don't want you hanging around these certain people, you can't do these certain things because X, Y, Z. These are the reasons why, because this is what's going on this time of night, this is what's going on over this area, and I don't want you to be involved with it. It's just more, I think it's just more or less engaging in what's going on with the children in the community, kind of trying to be that positive support for them for whatever it is that they want to do, whatever it is they have, you know, dreams of doing, and just also giving them the input of what could possibly happen if they go the opposite route.
I agree. So I agree with that because back in the day, right, if I would do something, I grew up like from Delaware, New York, but in our project, it was a corner store. Her name was Lisa. And I like used to like this field. So they called me Jenny Penny because I collected everybody's pennies so I could go to the store. But when she told me no, I used to want to steal it. Lisa whooped my ass one day into my mom. And I couldn't understand my mom being on Lisa's side because I'm like, yo, you go to the stores and steal every, like, Bloomingdale's. You know, she had a tin can book bag back in the day, you know, for the alarm. And I couldn't get with the program of why you letting this lady discipline me, and you know that you took us to steal. So I steal because you steal. And my mom will always say what you said to your daughter. I don't want you to steal. I don't want you to want for nothing. And as I grew, I didn't want to steal. But I still wanted to be. I still had to provide for my family, so in some ways, I still had to, like, hustle. And, you know what I'm saying? Because it was nothing else to do for me. So I just want to know, Juju, what is your feedback hearing this from two women, and then with women your age coming in an incarceration? What do you think you need to do? What can we do, right, with you guys' help? Because there has to be an initiative for everybody to participate in.
So I definitely do think that it's a lack of education on our behalf. As women my age, and we as though I'm in the undergrad bracket.
Say it again, I'm sorry, you were cutting out.
I don't think that there's enough guidance.
You don't think there's enough guidance?
No.
And you just think that?
I think that there women, young women my age should be educated more on what they're getting themselves into, you know, and what the jail system is like. That's my honest opinion.
Okay, but how can we help that? How can we, you know what I mean? Because, like you said, you're saying your honest opinion, but how can we help that?
I think it should be talked about in schools more. I think it should be like I'm not saying, okay, we need to broadcast these things all across, because I wanted to ask Shamika, like, Shamika, how does it feel to be, you have daughters, like, how does it feel to come out of the system and have to explain to them, like, why this is going on and what was going on at the time and why these things was happening to their mom?
So, Juju, that is a process that only I can really explain to my children. I mean, people can explain to your children everything that's going on, but it's not going to be that heartfelt conversation. And right now, to this day, me and my children are still dealing with, you know, the issues that came with me being incarcerated from them, from the separation from them being away from their parents. So we work on that daily. That's like something that we have to work on daily. And I think the best thing that you have to do is just discuss it and be open and upfront about, you know, what it is that happened and how it's affected everybody's lives. And then y'all kind of build from there. Me and my youngest daughter that's 16, we still kind of are working on her issues, because I feel like she doesn't open up to me and tell me a lot of things. She get on the phone and call my mom and tell my mom a lot of things. But guess what? My mom is the person that she lived with. My mom is the person that had her. Whereas though now, I've been back in your life. And I want to take on that role. I can't just jump in and take on that role because I've been absent. But it's work. I have to work on those things and kind of understand and respect where she's coming from because of the not the neglect, but the separation that she had. And I wasn't able to, you know, be there for her. But maybe when she got bullied in school, or maybe when she first came on her menstrual, or maybe, you know, those type of things. I wasn't around for those type of things. So she felt right. more comfortable with my mom, telling my mom certain things, whereas though I feel more comfortable, you know, why are you calling my mom and I'm right here? So I just kind of let her have her way, and we kind of like talk about it here and there, or whatever. And it's gradually coming along more and more better or whatever. Whereas though my oldest daughter, me and her, you know, we think these things is gonna work out, you know. But that's just basically it. It's just basically kind of like the communication. Communication is key. Let's get to understand each other, and you get to understand, you know, everybody's feelings. You just know that everybody's feelings is valid in the situation.
Yeah.
Oh, Mika.
Oh,
I got another.
You got another question? Okay, hold on one second.
Go ahead.
So I want to know. Another thing, like, how was the transition? Like, how did it make you feel being separated from your children? Being so that you had to go to PA and do 3 years, you came home, and then you had to, like, do another 3 years after you came home and was getting settled and situated.
It was very difficult. Me and one of my closest friends that I met while I was incarcerated, we used to walk the track. We used to cry together because we missed graduations, we missed birthdays, we missed this. But one thing for certain, two things for sure is because I was behind those bars, that didn't mean that I wasn't a present parent. Because every phone call that I made out, even if I was going to the counselor to call to my kid's school, to let my kid's school know that I was still, you know, participating in wanting right. to know what was going on with their academics or whatever. So the hardest part for me basically was trying to do it from behind bars. You know, just thank God that I had a wonderful support system that I had, and my kids didn't have to go without, or wasn't, you know, had to go to a foster home, or had to feel like they was neglected from anything. Some people did. Some people in jail wasn't able to even make a phone call to talk to their children. So you got to just be thankful for some things. And I'm thankful that I still was able to open up that communication line to be able to talk to my kids, their schools, be able to be, I wasn't present in their life, but I was there in their life. I still was, you know, involved in everything that was going on in their life.
Right.
So, Ju, we have... another person who also had shared similar experiences coming out of the system, going into the system, So I would like to put her on, but before we let Shamika leave, if anybody needs someone to talk to, she is a proud member of Network Connect here in Wilmington, Delaware. She is a community well-being ambassador, and she is a great resource. We are here. She's available. Also, please be on the look.
In Philadelphia as well.
Yes, and she's also in Philadelphia, and she does her own entity in Philadelphia. So we can please connect with us. You guys know my email, jthomas2350@gmail.com. We also will be looking forward to your hookah bus. Our radio station will be having a big event in June, and we would love for you to come out. It was nice meeting you and speaking with you. And she's also my friend, guys, so just meeting with her was great. But thank you so much, Shamika, and I'll be talking with
you soon. Thanks for having me.
So, Julina, what is your outlook on some of the interview that for Shamika? What are you thinking now?
Me personally, being incarcerated isn't for me.
Right.
The closest thing I've encountered with incarceration was sitting in a holding cell. And I couldn't even deal with that.
Well, that's a good thing. So now we have a young lady on the line who is, you know, both ages, right? So, and she faced with incarceration. And I like to introduce the people to Ashley. And welcome to our show, Ears to the Streets. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. So we just had an interview with someone else, and I want to know how and what, first of all, being a younger mother and, you know, dealing with incarceration and facing coming out of incarceration and going into incarceration and preparing yourself to transition back into society. What are some of the things that do you feel like you were supported when you came back out of society? And how was it dealing with these things with your children and being a mother? So my co-host today, Gigi, has a couple questions for you. And yeah, welcome to our show, Ears to the Streets.
Okay. So, hi, Ashley. Hey, how are you? Good. So, let me ask you something. How long was you in jail for? 5 months and 10 days. Very first time ever. How did it feel? How do you feel being though this is your first time being in jail? Like, how did that make you feel?
I'm gonna just say both. Okay, I was stressed because I didn't have any support as far as my kids. So like I was like all over the place to like mid part of my bed, like for like almost October. I'm not like September. When my friend took my other son, who was all over the place, but it was kind of like, I don't know, I was stressed, but then a part of me was like, I needed this, so I was very humble, and that was that. I don't recommend, I would not go back and recommend it to it, but.
So, So you guys,
did you have resources coming? You know, did you have support when you came out of prison? Was there someone there to support you? Like, did you have a resource? You feel as though the system helped you transition from incarceration? And you were coming out of Pennsylvania incarceration, is that correct?
Yes. I just feel like, I'm going to just say no. I didn't really have any resources. I kind of did that on my own and with some that I call my family and got it together like that because I always been on my own, so that's all I knew. Like, you know, there wasn't like, okay, it's different from the state of Delaware where it's like, okay, you go in this program. No, I turned through my probation, and then it was like, okay, you're discharged, and then it was just back to ass. So it wasn't like I never had, you know, a resource. I just had to learn that on day in and day out from coming out of prison. What moves not to make and what, you know, thinking four times because I have four kids.
Right. And all your four kids, did they have support, or were they like scattered, separated? Were they able to stay together? How was that?
For the most part, the people that they were with did interact with one another, but like I said, it was hard for me my first couple months of my bed or whatever, because my oldest son was scattered here, there, everywhere. You know, so one of my friends took him and my daughter, but for the most part, that was just it. They were together, but they were scattered. That kind of makes sense.
Right. So they were able to communicate with each other.
So what is some advice that you had to have for those under you?
All I can say is just pray. That's my number one. All my friends and family know. Just say, if I didn't have God, I wouldn't have made it out of there. And that's where I actually got a little bit closer. I mean, I always, you know, had God in my life, but I wasn't. Just pray, and then I don't know it's not worth it. So if you got kids or even yourself, like going to jail is not worth it at all. So kind of like think twice, think three times, think four times, however you gotta do it. It's, you know, because you're naturally thinking about your actions while you're sitting in there. Like, damn, was this $80 cert worth me spending 5 months? Or was this, you know, this was right. Me doing this, but if it's a way you gotta survive, you feel me? But there is always a way to change your life around.
Right. How can, you know, a lot of women and men, you know, how do you think you were different from watching the males you around come out of prison and you come out of prison? Do you think it was a different transition for both you guys?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, but no, because it's really the same. You know, you just got to apply yourself. You got to want different. So if you want to feel me in a sense and all that, then that's what it's going to be. Or if you want, you know, you get shut out of jail and you turn it up and you get your own business and now you got 6-7 figures. I don't watch that happen. I've been around everybody. I've been around myself, some people I call my brother, to closer people, to, you know, it's really no difference. Just because we're a man and a woman, it's the same thing. There's no difference. You want it to happen.
Feel like there's no difference when you're incarceration.
As far as that, maybe there might be more reasons for men. But other than that, no. I don't really see no.
Why would you say that you feel like there might be more resources for men than women?
Because it's like, you know, there's not a lot of, I'm not going to say there's not a lot of convicted felons as women, but it just seems like the only ones that get in trouble, well, there's more men in trouble than women. So, like, they need more help. I don't know. I guess women with kids can do more than a man that's just coming out of prison. So it's like now they just try to help the men more than they would help the women. If that makes sense, I can't really explain. In my experience, yeah.
Because now we have a lot of young people coming in that are doing way more. You know, we have women making some noise outside. They outside.
Right. They outside. Right.
They outside. So. We want to know, like, you know, talking a different way, like, that came from there, you know what I mean?
Right. And I've been around women that went to jail, came home, and transitioned, but it seems like we're all in the same time boat. Like, all right, we come home, we get a job. But every time we turn around, it's a different program for a man. You know, they got, like, let's just say, for instance, they coming out of Howard or Young, they got the Butler program. What do they have for women?
Right.
I've been around somebody that really, you know, it's been a program, but it's been the halfway house, but that's it. But it's not no Butler program where there's different resources where they give you different types. You know, you work hard for achieving the CDLs or anything like that. It's right. Different, I feel like, for a woman.
And you don't think that coming out of Pennsylvania prison, you had that support?
No, because maybe I didn't utilize it, I guess, or even was even put in the right direction. You know, I got that, like, afterwards, finding it out on my own or talking to my sister, like, hey, like, you know, things like that. And then your jail be like, well, you went to jail, like, you know, and certain things like that. But I kind of, like, God, I will never kind of really look back, I think, four times, like I said.
Right. What kind of mental health abilities and adversity did you face? Do you think it did something to your mental health?
It did. I'm not even gonna lie, it did. Because how can I put it? My mental health, it is like, it gave me more PTSD. Like, I don't know. I can't explain it. I know what I'm
saying. No, just explain it. Let it flow. Let it flow.
How did you feel? I got a question. Mm-hmm. At the time you was incarcerated, I know you had a semi-newborn, few months old. How did you feel knowing that you had to leave behind your freshly born baby?
Like I said, I was hurt. I was hurt. And, like, it put me in a stage where, like, you know, like I said, I can't do it again, ever. My kids don't have nobody but me. So when I left for 5 months, I ain't leave for 20 days, 5 days. I left for 5 months, very first time ever. Like, from seeing my kids, had no haircut for the people they were wearing, hair done, all that. Like, that shit hurt. So, like, I really, like, it really messed me up a lot. Like, damn, like, it's really not worth it. You know, but like I said, on the flip side of that, I really needed it. I needed it to be humble and everything. So it's like, I deal with a lot, like from the good to the bad, everything. But I really needed it. For real, the way I was moving, and not a lot of people would say this, I needed to go sit down. Thank God it was only a little bit less than 6 months, but because the things I was doing, I could have been doing years. But God, I really needed it. So, like, I don't know. I can't explain it. Like, at the end of the day, I just feel like it messed with my mental. It still does. I do have nightmares here and there. But it is what it is. Hello?
Yeah. Right.
What are some of the messages that you want to tell the youth coming up? Right. What are some of the things that you want to say to them that can possibly help them understand? Like, yo, this is real. Like, how can we? Why can we? Like.
And what do you want to say to the young women with children, you know, younger than us with children, who's going through these battles, like coming home and not having no hope, being incarcerated in and out the system? What would you want to say to them? What is some advice you want to give to them?
I would just, like I would say, always, in every situation I'm in, just pray and it's gonna all work out. But listen, these kids didn't have to be here, right? So you need to move accordingly. do what you gotta do for them. And just think about them before you make any decision. And sometimes people need to just, some people just need that, like, that push. Or, like I said, I needed to go to jail to make me who I am today. And I don't regret not one bit of it from 2004 on. You know what I'm saying? I don't regret not one bit of it. So it's like, no matter what you go through, trust and believe you're going to always get up. But you got to want it just as bad as, like, everybody doesn't want you to have it. You understand what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. Right.
And as people say, they bring you down, just keep going, because they want to bring you down. Nobody really care about you. And I've seen that. I've seen that. I didn't have no support. The ones that was helping me in jail, I couldn't. I did. I'm not going to lie. The one person that did help me in jail, I didn't want to call her and ask her for money every day. You know why? Because she had my kids. That's just me. So it was like, damn, I really didn't have the pictures and all that. I didn't hear from people when I was in there. And I still came out with a good heart and all that. Man, listen, live for yourself. Do what's better for you. If not, you're going to find yourself.
Now, when you was incarcerated, did you encounter a lot of women, and were they eager to share their stories?
And it, some of them are heartbreaking, and I still speak to some to this day through Facebook and everything. And a lot of people have changed their life from, you know, in PA, I was locked up with a lot of, like, drug addicts, shoplifting, everything, all types of different people. And now to this day, I swear, like, four or five of them that I still keep in contact have literally changed their life around. Like, but you know, they had did multiple beings, so it's like, it comes a time when everybody's tired, you know? You gotta do what's best.
Right.
But that's not right. Like, we really locked in 23-1 when things don't go these guards' way. Lights out at 10 o'clock, like, you know, your life becomes this square walking around. You really get immune to, like, walking around this square, you know, like, that's crazy. And I just be, like, just look at, I can't go back.
Right. Right. And, you know, for some people, jail becomes their home. All right.
Right.
So this becomes their revenue for their lifestyle. And, part of what prompted this interview is coming to the prison and seeing that, talking to different women where I'm able to, like, interview them one-on-one, because now the system is so many different things that you have to have involved. And to address some of the situations which I have not had the resources, you know. And also, the lifestyle that's being promoted by a lot of these young girls between the age of 18 and 21. And the lifestyle is like, yo, it's all right. It's cool to be in jail. Like, it's just cool. It's just a cool thing to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you ain't in jail, then you don't got a lot of clout. If you ain't in jail, like, you ain't really hard. Do you think that's a perception that's being, you know, promoted throughout the jail system, with you being in jail the most recent time, you know,
versus all my friends? Yeah.
Versus all your friends or your peers?
All my friends. Right. So I feel like, yeah, that is a perception. That's what's going on. You know, you're not the top booster. You ain't went to jail, this, that, and third. When that's not even really what's going on. You know, I'm going to keep it real. I'm going to jail for $68. You know how dumb I felt in there when I used to make $3,500 and never went? Like, you know, it was a ton. Like, that's just, like, that does not mean anything. That perception, I don't know. You don't need to be real to go to jail. Like, you don't have to be this person to go to jail. Like, that's not even cute. So to the young girls out here now just stealing and taking all this dumb stuff out the stores,
And you know, that's another thing. I think they kind of like, I'm going to just say it like this, right? If people don't know, I was a booster, however it goes. These new boosters, they made it hard for the ones that really know out here that knows what they're doing. Because you going in there, you just snatching everything off the table. Like, what? Why? 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 $1 to get hot? Like, no, that's not even how it goes. So I think that helped a lot of us old boosters. Not saying it like that, but I'm just being all the way real. Like, that just helped us kind of transition. And then on top of that, like, a lot of us, we getting old. We damn near 40. It's not 40.
Right.
So, like, it's just like that perception is not the you don't need to go to jail to get this clout. You don't.
Right, because you know what? The real boosters I know, they ain't never been to jail.
For real, for real.
You know what I'm saying?
They or some of the ones that real boosters been for drug charges or anything like that. Like, you understand what I'm saying?
Right. They ain't really going to jail.
We ain't really, yeah, exactly. But neither here nor there.
It's I just want to know what's your positive message. We want to thank you for having me on the show. Is there anything that you, any questions you want to get in before we go into our next session?
No, I feel like Ashley really touched bases on everything I had to say. She took the words right out of my mouth. You know, it is flex.
Anything you disagree on?
No,
it is. Like, if you do, just let me know.
It's flex and flash. Like, oh, if you ain't been to jail, like, oh well, you're not the best of the best, or you're not, you know, you ain't really doing nothing if you ain't been to jail. But in all reality, it's like people in general. I know people in general. The topic was boosters,
but look, right. So, what Jim said, I've been to jail. I went to jail, but okay, yeah, I got that minor little $68 charge, but I really went to jail for drugs. You feel me? So, for 16, 15 years, I didn't go to jail for that. People I ran with didn't go to jail for that. They went to jail because we had, you know, drugs. We don't go to jail because we're not stupid. We know how to move. So, at the end of the day, like, okay, yeah, I went to jail, but that was plenty, $68. But that was my time to stop right there. I just thank God that it wasn't the $3,000, the $4,000 type shit. I don't have, like, you know, I went to jail for drugs. And a little petty, you know, PA is different, so they charge me.
Right. And that's why I said, like, now, it's even, I don't disagree with what you said, though, on the...
I do have one thing to say, though, right? Whoever's listening... I don't regret my past and making who I am, and I'm just going to take another route, right? I got 2 felonies for stealing. However it go, I got felonies, misdemeanors for stealing, right? It's the worst kind of charge. I'd rather have murdered somebody. I can't even do DoorDash, Lyft, none of that. And it really bothers me because it's like, damn, like, am I going to steal these people food? And I'm not even that type person because I never steal from nobody, but the source is different. But I just want to let y'all know, like, please, like, if you really don't have to go that route, stealing is not the route you need to go, the charge you need to get. I can't work in a bank or store. Like, I really can't do nothing.
Right.
That's something petty like DoorDash. Are you serious? I can't DoorDash or Lyft, and I like to drive. I know I was killing the dad, but I can't. So at the end of the day, just kind of, like, think twice before you, like, before you move. But like I said, real boosters don't go to jail. And I ain't go to jail for boosting. So I went to jail for drugs. So, you know, it was just added on that. You think I got 6 months for really stealing? No. That's what was done in court. But neither here nor there. I enjoy y'all. I hope anybody can take these messages and go with it.
Well, we enjoyed you too. We chose this topic because it's National Women's Month and we celebrated it National Women's Day, and I just wanted to really touch base on why and how, and how could we make a better situation, you know, about the resources and things that we can tell the youth that are coming up about the jail system for women. I think that people are not talking about it enough. So this is a conversation that we're going to have as a group here on Ear to the Streets. We have these little sessions where we agree to disagree, and that will be one of the topics, and we will be inviting you back.
Yes, please. With everything, so if you know you have groups, that's fine. Because like I said, I think men have more ability to move around than women.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And I thank you again for being on here, and make sure you tell people to tune in every week, 2 o'clock, every Friday. And now we will be having our morning, morning cup of love. By Carla Broadway. So that will be our positive affirmation every week. She will be giving us an afternoon cup of love. So I would like to now introduce that. And that will carry out our show for today. Juju, it was great having you as a co-host. It's always a pleasure. I
thank you guys.
I thank you for being on here. And peace, love, and chicken grease. And now for our positive affirmation by Carla Broderick.
I made it. I am here. I have a morning cup of coffee. And I am here to give you your morning cup of love. So remember, I was getting sayings from this plaque that I saw at my church. And today's saying that stuck out to me says, the only difference between a stumbling block and a stepping stone is how you use it. And so I'm going to spin it, but I'm going to get back to it. I ran hurdles. And the key for running hurdles is not just your speed, but it is also your rhythm. You've got it to get in a rhythm with your arms, your legs, and a count so that you're moving in that rhythm so that you're able to get through the race. And here's the thing. If you get off, if you hit the hurdle, stumble on the hurdle, the important thing is to stay focused because you got to get back on the rhythm again. If you get out of get out of that rhythm and get all in your head about making a mistake, you're done. There's no way to recover from that. But you got to get right back and get back into your rhythm. And that's my morning message. Like, stumbling blocks will come, but you got to use it as a stepping stone to elevate yourself. You can't get stuck there. You got to get back into your rhythm when you stumble and keep on running your race. All right? Keep running that race. I hope you enjoyed your Friday morning cup of love. Have a blessed day and have a blessed weekend. Bye-bye.
And that concludes our show for today. Tune in next week and let me know. Hit me up, jthomas2350@gmail.com. If you're interested in playing any infomercials or getting some new material out, or sharing a positive message, letting me know what's going on to the streets, please don't forget to give me an email at jthomas2350@gmail.com. Also, Polino's Home Healthcare is now taking family members to care for their health. If you have a family member or a friend that is interested in looking for employment at a satisfying job or taking care of the elderly or disabled, please make sure you email me once again at jthomas2350@gmail.com. It's been real.
Once again, as usual, Ears to the Street is keeping it real. Delaware, stand up. You won't break my soul. You won't break my soul. You won't break my soul.
Release the time, release the strain, release the stress, release the love, forget the rest.
I'm gonna down my head, cause I lost my mind. In the front and the dom's in the back. Ain't taking no flicks, but the whole click snap. There's a whole lot of people in the house trying to smoke with the yak in your mouth. And we back outside. You said you outside, but you ain't that outside. Worldwide hoodie with the mask outside. In case you forgot how we act outside.
Got motivation. I'm gonna found me a new yours.
Can't break my soul.
Trying to fake it never makes it, that we all know.
Can't break my soul.
Can have the stress and I'll take less, I'll justify love. We go round in circles, searching for love. We go up and down, lost and found, searching for love. Looking for something that lives inside me. Looking for something that lives inside me.
You won't break my soul. You won't break my soul. You won't break my soul.